Hello, my name is David South. Welcome to the East Dulwich Tabernacle Bible Class lesson recording for Lesson 92A, Revision. Thank you for listening to the lesson today. We trust and pray that you're all well. Remember, look on the EDT website for the next recorded lesson every Sunday. Revisit or catch up with any that you may have missed. Before I start the session, I remind you that we do have the supporting Bible reading sheet 92A, which supplements this lesson. These can be downloaded from the EDT website for you to have a copy so that you can remind yourselves of the main lesson points and also pray and read a portion of God's Word each day throughout the week. Also, look out for the quiz, which can be accessed from the EDT website. Thanks to all those who have sent answers in. May I encourage you to have a go this week? You can also ask us questions through the quiz page. This week, we cover the revision lesson of our recent series in the Old Testament, The Conquest of Canaan, Judgment and Deliverance. We have split the revision into two lessons, as there are so many important points to consider. This week's lesson is number 92A, Revision A. I will start with a short prayer, then read part of a hymn, and then the Bible passage which supports the lesson. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, acknowledging that thou art the Almighty Sovereign God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We humbly acknowledge that our lives and eternal souls are in thy hands. We pray for comfort to be given to all who grieve over death of a loved one. We ask for wisdom and skill to be given to all who care for our health. We bow before thee at this troubled time and ask that thou will keep us and our loved ones safe. Please help us to listen carefully and to take notice of thy gracious call to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have nothing to fear in approaching you, the Holy God, for you have declared in thy word that we should do so with humble recognition of who thou art. We thank you for your interest in us and ask that we will bow to the teaching of your word. These are the very words of life to our souls. Please bless us as we consider the revision of our recent lessons. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our revision lesson will concentrate on what is discerning faith in the living God. I draw your attention to the chosen hymn for this week, a hymn reminding us that we need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so as to enter eternal heaven. It's hymn 401 in our church hymn book. Verse 1. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Saviour, then in love, fear and distrust remove. O bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. Now I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2. Pause the recording if you need to get your Bible, because it will be good for you to follow along with the words. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. May the Lord richly bless to us that reading of his word. Well, we now come to our revision lesson on the Christian pilgrimage, judgment and deliverance, lesson 92a. Our revision covers some of the people we've considered over the last few weeks because they can be identified as being in one of two groups, believers or unbelievers. There are only these two groups of people in the world. God does not separate people into the following groups by nationality, culture, language, male or female, age, young or old, education, wealth, social position, when in time a person lives. God in his word has given us clear guidelines as to what the difference is between unbelievers and believers. If we think of unbelievers as being in group A, they have these following things in common. They have selfish, greedy, and proud attitudes. No care for what they think, say, or do. They live taking all for themselves, as if God, their creator, does not exist. They foolishly have no thought for their God and the soul that he has given them or its eternal destiny. They only live for the here and now. No thought of eternal judgment of their sin. God sees all these traits in an individual unbeliever. He calls them to repentance. If we think of group B, believers, they have the following in common. They have a heartfelt concern and regret for the guilt of their sin before the holy Creator God. They humbly have sought and found God's forgiveness for their sin. They have certain hope of heaven. They have received the gift of faith from God, enabled to believe that Christ died for them. They have teachable hearts, believing God's word, obeying it, praying daily, and serving him. They have a desire to fellowship and worship with other believers, turning from their worldly way. God looks on an individual believer's heart to see if all of these are present. As we review some of the main points from these lessons, please consider which group each falls into. Also, please think which group you are currently in. Remember, we all start as unbelievers from birth. In doing this, we will be learning about the biblical principle of Christian discernment. To do this, we must learn the principles that God has made clear to us in the Bible. In doing so, we must avoid the error that many make by making our own rules on this. We must also not let our discernment be contaminated with pride. Once pride comes in, our discernment becomes judgmental. We are not to try to see if we are better than others or if they are worse than us. If what others do is against God's requirement, then we must not copy them. It is God's prerogative alone to judge. Our responsibility, if we are a Christian, is to discern using biblical principles. If we claim to be a Christian believer, then our responsibility is to ensure that we show to God and all around that we have all the biblical characteristics of a true Christian. Our lessons over recent weeks covered the conquest of Canaan under Joshua, followed by the time of the judges. First of all, let's go back to the time of Rahab. She weighed the evidence to find the true God. Do you remember her and where she lived? Did she always love God? How was it that she was used of God to protect the two Israelite spies? Well, you probably answered that she lived in a house on the wall of Jericho and that she did not always love God. What did she find to be so dissatisfying with her life? Well, Rahab had become totally dissatisfied with her idol gods and the sinful lifestyle which she was living. Who did she turn to and why? I'm sure you've got this right. She discovered the one true God and sincerely turned to him to seek his forgiveness for her sin. What had she heard about God? I trust you'll remember that she had heard of the mighty acts of God, how he had miraculously brought the Israelites out of Egypt and kept them through their 40-year desert experience. She had heard of God's holiness and justice, his mercy and grace. She knew judgment had come to sinful Canaan and the city of Jericho. This was a sincere trust, not one of selfishly hedging her bets, hoping to be on the victory side. Her faith was real. God heard her prayer, and he answered, as he always does for those prayers of sincere repentance. Her heart and life were changed. She left off her sinful ways and idol worship. She was trusting God, and she aligned herself with God's people. In faith, she protected the spies. Think how wonderful it was that God brought the spies to her house, the only friendly house for them in Jericho. God kept his promise and saved her life when he destroyed Jericho's walls. Well, which category shall we put her into? Well, if we answer the questions from Group B, believers, she had the following things in common. We ask, did she have heartfelt concern and regret for the guilt of her sin before the holy Creator God? Yes, she did. Did she humbly seek and find God's forgiveness for her sin and had a certain hope of heaven? Yes, she did. Did she receive the gift of faith from God and being enabled to believe that Christ would die for her? Yes, she did. Did she have a teachable heart, believing God's word, obeying it, praying daily, and serving him? Yes, she did. Did she have a desire to fellowship and worship with other believers, turning from worldly ways? Yes, she did. Picture, after the walls came tumbling down and she was saved, the great joy that were in the hearts of the Israelites, the two spies especially, and Rahab and her family. Well, Rahab had grown up in an ungodly home, yet on hearing of the Almighty One True God, she had turned to seek him and became a believer, and she used her faith to serve him. Yes, we have discerned Rahab to be a true believer. Hebrews 11:31 confirms this as fact, by faith, Rahab. We now turn our thoughts to Achan, the next lesson, and we remind ourselves that Achan tries to hide his sins and disobedience and greed by lying. I wonder if you can remember what part Achan played in the conquest of Jericho. Well, all he had to do was march round the city with all the others. What did Achan and all the others know? Well, Achan and all the others knew God's commandment. The spoils of Jericho were not to be taken. What did Achan do which no one else did? You know. He saw, he coveted, he took, he hid, and he lied. But God knew Achan's secret. Remember the warning God gives us in Psalm 1, which we considered 2 weeks ago? The three stages of falling into gross sin? You will remember, surely, that the ungodly first walk, then they stand, and then they sit in the way of the scornful. Do you see Achan following this pattern of behavior? Yes, we do. What did Achan do when the search was on? He kept his sinful secret. He would not acknowledge that he had sinned. He clung on to his worldly gains, hoping they would be useful to him in the future. What happened to him? Did he get away with it? No, he was found out. And he did not show real repentance. And we're reminded in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. So we have to consider Achan as being in that group A. We knew that he was an unbeliever. If we look through the questions, did he have selfish, greedy, and proud attitudes? No care for what he thought, said, and did? That was his attitude. Did he live taking all for himself as his God, his creator, did not exist? Yes. Did he foolishly have no thought for his God-given soul or its eternal destiny? Yes. Did he only live for the here and now? No thought of eternal judgment of his sin? Yes. Achan willfully chose to reject God, even though he knew from a child the things of God. He did show some signs of repentance, but they were unacceptable. They were not sincere. We discern that Achan was and remained an unbeliever. We now turn our attention to Gideon. We had two lessons on Gideon. He was a young man, and how he showed faith towards God and begins to serve him. In his day, who did the people worship? Well, they worshipped the idol Baal. But some also tried to worship God at the same time. I don't think this works, does it? What did Gideon think about this? Well, I trust you remember that Gideon was faithful to God. He refused to join the other people in their sinful worship of Baal. He sincerely placed his trust and faith in God, looking to serve him with integrity. He had come to know the Lord as his Savior and God. He knew and believed the first commandment. Can you remember what it is? Yes, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that means none in God's sight. What did he do? Well, I'm sure you remember that in the middle of the night, with great courage, he destroys the man-made idol of Baal. He was strong in the Lord, and he took delight in obeying and standing for his God. There were many who disliked him for this and were very angry with him, but he withstood his ground. In the next lesson, we considered how Gideon was faithful to God and how he was given victory over the Midianites. Who were the Midianites? They were one of the nations who were occupying Canaan. They were very evil. They even sacrificed their children to their idol gods, such as Baal. And so God had determined that they had to be destroyed. But the Midianites came to attack the Israelites. What did Gideon do? He prayed to the Lord for confirmation that the Lord would be with him in battle. What did God tell Gideon to do as he prepared the people to defend themselves? Well, God directed him to select an army from 32,000 available men. The first test for these 32,000 men was, if you are afraid, go home. And 22,000 were afraid, and so they were sent home. How many remained? Yes, only 10,000 remained. Do you remember the test God set for these? Yes, it was the water drinking test. How many knelt on one knee, cupping water in one hand? Only 300. How many fell to the ground to lap their tongues like dogs? 9,700. What did this reveal about them? It revealed their habit of worshipping Baal. And so send them home, Gideon, was the Lord's command. Gideon continued in steadfast faith when God rejected these 9,700 of the 10,000 men, and God used Gideon mightily to defeat the large Midianite army with only 300 men. At night, they surrounded the Midianite camp. What were their weapons? Yes, they'd gone with trumpets in one hand and pots covering their lamps in another. How were the 300 men to use these weapons? At Gideon's signal, the pots were broken, their fiery lamps burning brightly, and they blew on their trumpets. What did they shout? The sword of the Lord and Gideon was their shout. What happened? The Midianites, in total fear and confusion, started to fight each other and ran for their lives. What did Gideon do then, after the victory? Gideon immediately thanked the Lord for giving him that victory. So, which category do we put Gideon in? As a believer, did he have the following in common? Did he have heartfelt concern and regret for the guilt of his sin before the Holy Creator God? Yes, he did. Did he humbly seek and find God's forgiveness for his sin with a certain hope of heaven? Yes. Did he receive the gift of faith from God, enabling him to believe that Christ would die for him? Yes. Did he have a teachable heart? Believing God's word, obeying it, praying daily, and serving him? Yes. A desire to fellowship and worship with other believers, turning from worldly ways? Yes. Gideon clearly demonstrated by his faith, trust, and obedience that he was a true believer. Hebrews 11 verse 32 confirms this as fact. Gideon is listed among the faithful. We now turn to the people of Laish. They lived in a dream world and had no thought of danger. Can you remember how the people of Laish lived? What was their attitude? They took their paradise for granted, believing it would last forever. So they lived selfish, self-absorbed lives without care for anything or anyone. They were totally given over to pleasure and prosperity. Did they feel secure? Yes, but foolishly and carelessly. They felt secure in their careless way of life. They had no army to guard against any enemy. They did not even have any laws or a magistrate to decide the difference between right and wrong. Everyone did as they pleased. What happened to them? They were overrun by the Danites. They died whilst living to please themselves. So let's consider which group they fit into. How do we know that the people of Laish were unbelievers? Did they have selfish, greedy, and proud attitudes? No care for what they thought, said, or did? That was certainly them, wasn't it? Did they live taking all for themselves as if God, their creator, did not exist? Yes, absolutely. Did they foolishly have no thought for their God-given souls or eternal destiny? They did not care about those things whatsoever. Did they live only for the here and now and no thought of eternal judgment of their sin? Well, these people lived only for pleasure and for themselves, so had to face the judgment of God. So we have considered these people using biblical rules for discernment. We dare not judge them. That is God's prerogative and right. Our discernment should take us to a position of emulating, copying, those who pass God's clear tests as believers. We should also avoid the errors of those who remained in the unbelieving state that they were born to. We owe it to ourselves to honestly consider where we stand today. So let's consider the true group lists. Unbelievers, they have the following in common. Are we like them? Do we have selfish, greedy, and proud attitudes with no care for what we think, say, or do? Do we live taking everything for ourselves, as if God, our Creator, does not exist? Do we foolishly have no thought for our God-given souls or its eternal destiny? Do we live for just the here and now, with no thought of eternal judgment of our sin? God sees all these traits in an individual unbeliever. He calls us to repentance. Is this the group in which we stand at the moment? But we can be transferred into group B, believers, Christians, who have the following in common. So we must ask ourselves, do we have all of these? Do we have a heartfelt concern and regret for the guilt of our sin before the Holy Creator God? Have we humbly sought and found God's forgiveness for our sin? Do we have a certain hope of heaven? Have we received the gift of faith from God, enabling us to believe that Jesus Christ has died for us? Do we have teachable hearts, believing God's word, obeying it, praying daily? And do we have a service for him? Do we have a desire to fellowship and worship with other believers, turning from all worldly ways? So God looks on the individual believer's heart to see if all of these are present. Let us take time to examine our heart to see which group describes the state of our soul. Seek the Lord today, praying that he will lead you out of group A into group B. We have scriptures, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which we read. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. And then other passages, which are on our sheet from Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 3. Well, next week we will consider the other people in our recent series. But thank you for listening, and I'll now close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can clearly discern those who are right with thee, those who have found peace and rest, forgiveness of sin, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of lost sinners. We thank you that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. O Lord, we praise you for that wonderful gospel message which you have given us. We thank you for your mercy and grace and patience and kindness in looking to us, Lord, to respond in repentance and faith. O Lord, we pray that you would give us that gift of faith and help us to exercise it in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. Bless us and keep us, Lord, we pray. Help us to read thy word, to obey it, to understand it, and to praise thy holy name. Lord, we thank you for these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it just remains for me to remind you that the quiz will be there for questions on Mr. Parsons' lesson last week. Do hope that you will have a go at that. Send in your answers. Ask any questions that you want to ask. And also, if you don't already join us on the Lord's Day, we meet on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning for our evangelistic service and at 6 p.m. at night for our teaching service, and on Wednesdays for our Bible study. Pastor on Wednesdays is now doing a new series on the Ten Commandments, and this is well worth listening to, as are the other messages. Do join us Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for the gospel service. All these services are available on our website, eastdulwichtabernacle.org, and there you will find links for the morning service, the evening service, and for the Wednesday Bible study. Remains now for me just to say thank you very much for listening. Pray that your soul will be blessed, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.